In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, as we were just finishing up this morning, we spoke concerning the heart of every believer should be filled with joy when they realize that Jesus Christ has accomplished a complete pardon. He has given us a full justification. We stand before God the Father completely righteous because of the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us. And we are there and we stand there before Him justified. As one old preacher said, justified, never sinned. And we understand it that way. Because Christ came to this world, He lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death, not for any sin that He committed, but for the sins of His people. And a precious joy floods our soul at the remembrance of Christ and what He has promised us as believers in Him, the eternal preservation and the glory of all who believe. He said that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And it is indeed true that the gospel of Christ is good news. It's the good news of salvation by Christ. And when we see the beauty of the gospel, we see what Christ has done, what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. And those who deliver that message, we even are joyful in hearing them. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. And as the verse goes on, we see in that where joy has become our a characteristic of the children of God, even though they may have sorrow. So we see the goodness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as Isaiah said, those that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's where we stop this morning. I want to pick up there and consider the foundation and the cause of our joy, and it is the message of the gospel. And we understand that the doctrine of divine revelation, the revelation of God and Him granting faith in the gospel, giving us faith and granting repentance, that in that experience we have joy in Jesus Christ and joy in the fact that He is our Savior. But in the Scriptures, we're also given to us not only to produce a joy in the gospel, but to produce a joy in us because of what Christ has done. And then what are the characteristics, is one of the questions I wanted to answer today. What are the characteristics of the believer's joy? What evidence and what would you look for in identifying the joy of a believer? Even the sorrow that we have for sin is a joyful sorrow. Never am I more joyful than when I stand at the foot of the cross weeping over my sin, because God has revealed to me that I am a sinner. And without that revelation from God, none would be saved. Even our bitter trials are sweeter by the promise of God. There's a poem that goes, His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. You understand, as God brings us aware, makes us aware of our sin, He grants us repentance. If we have a change of mind, a change of direction, we're made new creatures in Christ. The sorrow of our sin is turned to a joyful sorrow. Because every word of God Every word of God is designed to increase our faith in Christ. And our faith, we grow in grace and knowledge and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And where there is faith, there is joy. And we see that that joy is indeed, it is indeed joyful to rest in our Savior's love. So as we study God's Word, and so many times it is our human nature that when things happen that cause us sorrow, cause us grief, we are hesitant to go to the Word of God and to read what God has to encourage us. I think sometimes we get to a point that we may like to wallow in our sorrow and to let people know how bad things really are with us, because we know that by experience that hope is the anchor of our souls, and because we live in hope, we have joy, you understand? So the experience of a believer, the experience of that joy, is a very practical one. Once more, as we look at this, the joy that is brought to us in the Scripture is very practical joy. The Bible tells us very clearly that the commandments of God are not grievous, but they're joyful. We can be more delightful. And what can be more delightful than our Father's command that we should love one another? What can bring more delight? What can bring more happiness to know that we are commanded to love one another? And we understand that through this love for one another, that we are indeed keeping the commandments of God. You love God with all your heart, all your body, all your soul, all your mind, all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wrapped up in that are the commandments, all the commandments. Surely we've never known any joy so great in the obedience of God's command than it says, believe in His Son. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ is the command of God. In the Scripture, we're called upon to serve Christ, and we're called upon to give ourselves up to Him entirely. And we have no greater joy than that of being subjects of our King, Jesus Christ. And to be sure, as we grow in grace and we grow in the joy of God also. So it only stands to reason that the more you know Christ, the more you grow in the knowledge of His love and His grace, His compassion, and you grow less dependent upon the power of this world, and the power of this world itself will be unable to interrupt your joy, the powers of this world. And even the powers that's within this old flesh. The joy that Christ gives us in the Scripture, you understand, is a fullness of joy. It is a joy in doctrine, in the teachings of God's Word. It is joy in the experience of what God has promised, and knowing that He loves us and that He gave His Son for us. And that joy then becomes a joy in practice. So we experience the things of God, the Scripture, the foundation, the cause of joy is the message of the gospel. And in that, there's a practical application of that word which is delivered unto us, and that faith which is given us, that is not of ourselves, to believe that gospel is the basis of our joy. So then in the third place, I want to briefly answer the question, then what are some of the characteristics of the believer's joy? you find that the joy of which I'm speaking is much more than some acceptance or an apathetic indifference to the circumstances in which we live. I mean, we can see things happen in our lives, and listen, I'm not saying that there won't be bad things happen to good people. We suffer loss, we suffer tragedy, we suffer sorrow. But just to say, whatever, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that type of acceptance of the things that happen that would bring sorrow and grief in this life. Just an apathetic indifference to the things of this world. I'm not speaking of that. But this joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is an active and it is a delightful aspect, you listen to me, of the faith that we have in Christ. It is real. The joy, it should be constant because Paul says rejoice evermore. And this is a great difference between the happiness of the worldling and the joy of the believer. If you're happy because of things that are going on around you and the things that lift you up and make you happy, if that's the only happiness that you experience, that's fleeting. Yeah, we may get a raise once in a while. We may get a cost of living. We may have good times. We've had a good time here today as children of God and enjoyed one another's fellowship. But if that's the only reason you come, those things are fleeting, because when we go to our homes, we're back into reality. We're back into the world. This is a haven. As we come together as children of God and fellowship around the things of God, away from the things of this world. But when we go out into the world, the joy that we have in Christ is constant. And it continues. The happiness of the worldling depends upon what's happening in their lives. Whereas the believer's joy is not in the circumstances that you're experiencing, but in God. That's where your joy comes from. So our joy should be constant because God never changes. He is always the same. Our joy comes not from what we have, but what we are. Not from where we are, but whose we are. So let each of us strive to be like Habakkuk and resolve, as he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold. And you're thinking, what more could go wrong? He goes on to say, there shall be no herd in the stalls. But he goes on and says, even if all this stuff happens, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. So let your joy be constantly full. I've seen the sick bed become a choir loft. We were at the side of a dying lady, and they began to sing in the ER. The family around about, Amy was there when her mother died. They began to sing "Because He Lives." She hadn't moved much late up to that time. She turned her head to the side and smiled, and a tear dropped in the corner of her eye. Because he lives. There's joy even in the death of a saint. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. So we see that as Habakkuk said, We've seen the sickbed become a choir loft, and we've seen poverty turn into riches, and we've seen bereavement turn into joy. And our joy is something altogether unknown to this world. And Peter tells us that it is a joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. It is a joy beyond the thoughts of the and the words of men. But it's the most reasonable joy. You say, well, it's reasonable. How can you be so sure that it is reasonable to be this joyful? It's because we're forgiven of all of our sin, because we're accepted in the Beloved, because heaven is secured for us, because we are the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, because as members of a true New Testament church, there's the bride of Christ. Should we not be joyful? Should we not rejoice? Christ is our joy. The Lord tells us our joy is a permanent joy. Your joy no man can take from you, John 16:22. And by our own sin and sometimes by our lack of faith, it is a hidden joy and perhaps low, but it's never ever removed from us. Christ is our joy, and He will prevent. He will never, never be taken from us. And it is not only permanent, but it is to our best advantage to have this fullness of joy. Because people who are full of the joy of the Lord are the most useful in His kingdom and His glory. Spiritual joy greatly helps us to prevent that sin within us. Because if we're full of joy, we cannot be covetous. If we are full of joy, we cannot envy. If we are full of joy, we cannot murmur against God. Spiritual joy helps to prepare us for heaven, where our joy indeed shall be complete. And this blessed joy of faith is injurious to Satan. He hates that joy. When someone brought bad news to Martin Luther, I don't necessarily subscribe to his doctrine, but this was written of him, and they brought this bad news to Martin Luther, he'd say, well, come, let us sing a psalm in spite of the devil. So you understand that this joy is very practical. And its characteristics are that of continued joy. And then how can we increase our joy? John's purpose in writing to us was that our joy might be full. Now I want you to have the fullness of that joy in Christ. So I give you these words of instruction that I didn't gain them from my own study, but just by looking at God's Word, it's very clear. There are a few things that I have found most useful in increasing my joy in the Lord. And if you would increase your joy, first of all, and foremost, is become familiar with the Bible. You got to know your Bible, and it will increase your joy. You read the Word of God regularly and read it systematically. Read it with purpose and read it with prayer. And read every other book you might like to read in light of God's Word. Nothing supersedes the Word of God. If you want to joy in your life, meditate freely upon Christ. You know, I know we can't go around reading the Bible all the time. We'd fall over something or have a wreck. I don't know what Reed Walker reads. There's a man up in Fort Mitchell. I don't know if you've seen him walking along the Dixie Highway. For that which hateth his brother is of darkness. I don't know if he's reading the Bible or not, but he walks along everywhere reading. That's not practical. He could get hit by a car or step off the curb. It's worse than, that'd be worse than looking at your cell phone all the time. But you'd be better off if you were looking at your Bible instead of your cell phone. But if you would increase in joy, you become familiar with your Bible. And if you want joy in your life, think upon Christ and think upon what He's done and the work that He performed for you. Nothing sweetens an hour or a day or a life like a blessed meditation upon and communion with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. You say, well, what do I think of Him? Think of His person. Think of what He, how He came to this earth and He became flesh. And God became flesh and He dwelt among sinful men. And think of the compassion He had. Think of the accounts of His life in the Gospels. Meditate upon His sufferings and think upon His accomplishments and rest on them. Praise His majesty and exalt Him. He's at the right hand of the Father. There's flesh and bone in heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. Nothing will serve to increase your joy like an increased knowledge of Jesus Christ. Think of Him. Commune with Him. Have fellowship with Him. He is your joy. He is your silent partner. Everywhere you go, He is with you. And the more you know Christ, the more you know His joy. And then, if you would increase your joy, confidently trust in your Redeemer's finished work and the promises of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You ought to know that verse by heart. Be able to repeat it from time to time. Because when we see Christ and what He has done, faith in Him is joy. Our salvation is finished. We're redeemed. We're pardoned. We're justified. We're reconciled. Adopted, accepted, sanctified, whatever words you can think of on all that in Christ. And the promises of Christ in the gospel, they're sure, because He will go on forgiving and He'll go on cleansing and sanctifying us. And He will present us faultless before the presence of His glory, we're told, with exceeding joy. So if you would live in joy, think often of your Savior. And then, on the tiptoes of faith, think often of the coming glory of the Lord. As He said, if I go away, I'll return. I'll come that you may be with me where I am. And I will finish this message with the words of the apostle. And I pray that God would apply them to our hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Remember those words. Remember that promise. And be joyful in the Lord. Look up, children of God. Go home rejoicing. For soon your joy indeed shall be full. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God bless you. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a closing hymn?